when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all you precious, precious Blood River Radio family out there. We could not maintain this radio program without you, without your support, and without your sacrifice of money. Without, because you have been loyal and helping us out, we'll be going to 3 hours, be January the 7th of 2023. We have too much on our plate right now to go there. But anyway, people, who are we? We are Blood River Radio. Who am I? My name is Eddie the Bobber Deer Miller, and we just have a hell of a show tonight. But you know what? Before we take a single step, we're going to say the prayer. And we have a man on. He stayed over. He's listening to us. He's on our line. His name is Ron Kukal. He is the official chaplain for United States Ship Liberty. And I don't want to put him on the spot, but not that I'm trying to dodge doing the prayer, but we always open up with a prayer on Blood River Radio. Pastor Ron, would you like to say the prayer? Oh, okay, Ron took off. Okay, Ron, I was thinking, Ron, people, I was just on the USS Liberty Hour for an hour. They invited me there. What an honor. I always get so choked up and emotional there, but I was going to invite him if he wanted to say the prayer. So, people, before we go anywhere, before I say the prayer, today is, like I said, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. You're listening to Blood River Radio. This is October the 29th in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Almighty God, 2022. Jesus Christ, the only name under the sun which man can be saved. There is no other way to heaven. There's no other way to salvation other than Jesus Christ Almighty. That's it. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. It's not Jesus Christ plus two Hail Marys. Jesus Christ plus the Baptist minister. Jesus Christ plus, it's just Jesus Christ plus nothing. So with that said, if you will, please, people, please bow your head. We're going to say a quick prayer. Almighty Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for giving me this day of life. Every day of life, Lord, is better than a day in the ground. Thank you so much for showering the blessings on Blood River Radio, by giving us the funds to go to the third hour to do your work, Father, fellow, do your will, O Lord. Lord, if you will, please continue to bless Blood River, Liberty News, Cameron, and Jay, and all his family, all of our family and friends. Bless us all, Lord. I wish I had time to name everybody's name, but we don't. O Lord, God Almighty, thank you again so much. And if you will, stay with us, O Lord. Help us, give us the wisdom to know who the enemy is. Give us the courage to take in the know-how to attack that enemy. Give us the discernment to know how to do it. And Lord, for you, Lord, like we always say, please never let us hesitate to ride. Never let us hesitate to never always give us the power to ride toward the gunfire. Don't ever let us dodge going to the gunfire, Lord. I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. People, we have a few announcements here. Let's see. Now, on next week, on November 5th, I won't be here. I'll be in New York City. I'll be there Friday. That's that. I'll be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'll be there for a week. I'll leave November the 3rd, I think it is. I'll be coming back on the 10th. November the 6th, I'll be running the New York City Marathon. So if you will, keep me in your prayers. I've done New York 4 times before. I'm going to tell you what, that is one tough cookie of a course. Those bridges, man, oh, man, you would not believe how tough those bridges are. Sent James a photograph of the Verrazano Strait Bridge. That sucker, it's a monster. It's a shade over 2 miles long. So the people who will be taking the program that weekend will be Rand Owens. He's going to be filling my shoes. He's going to be bringing people in and out. And we'll have Nancy Hit on sitting in with him. And we also have Monica Schaefer. And listen, people, I have my list of donors here for this week. I don't have it anywhere. I don't know what to do with it. Well, I will get to our donors for the next session. Don't worry. I'm not going to forget that. Let's see. Here is another. Let me see. I told you about going to 3 hours. Okay. Tonight, people, our show outline, this is going to be our third classroom in our series that we have. We're following, like we said in the past. I know I'm repeating myself, but on our website, Blend River Radio website, our flagship purpose is to defend against global white genocide. And make no mistake, we are in a program, of a design program, a planned program of global white genocide by Satan, the devil, and his minions. His servants. And who are his servants? Number one, first and foremost, is the Christ-hating, Christian-hating Jew. There, no one hates your guts more than a Jew. That's who we're fighting. That's exactly who we're fighting. Get down here. Okay, yep. This is our third series, and tonight, who's going to be on our number one instructor, what I call our martial arts, with anything to do with military, anything to do with fighting in the streets, anything to do with the beans, band-aids, boots, and bullets, is Michael Tubbs, former Green Beret, former survivor of the federal gulag. Also, we have Ryan Owens. He's going to be hiding in the bushes. He's going to be waiting in case he gets his, in case he wants to ask some questions later. And okay, that's what we're going to do. And listen, people, I can't reiterate this enough. If you follow the courses, the classrooms we've been teaching you here, your life may very well depend on it. When things go to hell, society breaks down, when the ATF comes to your door, when the FBI comes to your door, when these Chinese troops come to your door, like from the Chinese police stations we have in the United States right now, what are you going to do? Are you going to just sit there and urinate all over yourself, or are you going to stand up like a man and fight? Well, that's what we're teaching you how in these classes, how to do that. Now, the second hour, hopefully Michael could stay over with me and Ran, and we have a surprise guest. His name is Mike Weaver, and you're talking about a guy of action. He's got one hell of a story to tell. We'll bring him on about the second segment of the second hour. But, folks, that looks like that's about all I have right now. If you will, brother, my big little brother, my giant little brother, Michael Tubbs, say hello to all the people out there waiting for you to start the class, brother.
Well, hello to our listeners. And, Eddie, I want to thank you for having me on your show. It's a great honor and certainly more than I deserve. Thank you, sir.
Well, I think you deserve every bit of it, but you're very welcome. Rand, would you like to say hello to the audience out there, brother? Not our audience, our family.
Sure, absolutely. I'd like to say hello to everybody out there. Just like to say that it's an honor for me to be on the radio with Michael Tubbs and Eddie Miller, and I'm excited to be here and looking forward to picking up tips and learning things.
Well, I'll tell you what, like I honored both of you guys. People, if just in case you don't know, I've told you before, Rand Owen, he's the, I guess they call it, is it the chairman of the Alabama League of the South, or is it the, and we have and Michael Tubbs, he is the head honcho, the chairman of is it the chairman, Mike, that you're of the League of the South in Florida?
Yes, sir, state chairman for the Florida League of the South.
Okay, and so we have two chairmans here for the League of the South. We have one from Florida, Michael Tubbs, and one from Rand. So, I had a thing here. I was going to try, if you guys can help me, I know Rand's been listening to this show. I was going to try to think that we could kind of recap your review a little bit. In fact, I was talking to Rand today and I said I had I can never remember if it was before I got drafted or after I got drafted, when I had a botany course. There was an old Korean veteran there. He was in Korea when he was 19 years old, but he had a PhD in microbiology and chemistry and stuff like that. And he taught zoology. He said he always he'd study an hour. He'd only study 1 hour a day. He did 4 15-minute sessions. The second session, he would always review what he did the first session. The third session, you know, it was always like a lot of review. So I thought we'd review what we've been doing. In previous shows, before we go to the break, we talked about the type of arms you should have when the balloon goes up, when it hits the fan. And our expert, our Green Beret expert, said that the most common round in the universe, bar none, rifle round, was the 5.56 NATO, not the 223 Remington, but the 5.56 NATO round. And he had many advantages of having that round, having that rifle. He said the favorite, what they recommended for their pistol, the sidearm, was the 9mm Glock 17, and he went over all the reasons why you could have those armaments. I personally favor other weapons as far as I can go, deer hunting, elk hunting, et cetera. We're not talking about hunting elk. We're not talking about hunting charged with grizzly bears. We're talking about hunting humans. And we talked about the armored vest with trauma plates in them, getting, you know, how a level 4 vest was good to up to and including 30-06 with armor piercing. I'd like to expand upon that later. What would it take to go through an level 4 if our enemies come a calling? He talked about various books that went over caching of weapons, supplies. We talked about concealment, some camouflage. We talked about Vietnam, Korea, and people, I hear the music. We'll review just a little bit more maybe, and then we'll go into maybe cover this a little bit more, what we reviewed, and then get some new material. Be right back, folks. Hang on.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
Well, God bless you, Blood River Radio people, sitting here listening to my meandering, you know, speech, etc. But Michael Tubbs got a great idea. He said, why don't I just tell you guys out there to go back and listen to the archives? If you want to see what we did last week, I guess I'm just an old guy. Go back and do a little review. But we do, I think we do need to review some things because, you know, people like myself especially, we learn by repetition. But we're going to let our instructor, our Green Beret instructor, this guy has done it all. And he's also survived 5 years in the federal gulag just for, you know what, for being American and for taking the Constitution seriously. He actually believed the Second Amendment applied to us. He actually believed that the so-called American citizens, which we don't have any American citizens anymore, were slaves. He actually believed that we were citizens. He thought that the government was there to serve us. And that's what got him in trouble. I'm too long here. But anyway, go back to you, Mike. I'm sorry I got carried away there, brother. You talked about when the break what we're going to cover tonight. And so take off and go, our PhD instructor, buddy.
Well, there's a lot of people that are more experienced and more knowledgeable than myself, but I'll do what I can here. We talked about training. A lot of folks collect firearms with the idea that they're going to sometime use them in the future, and they end up collecting dust and sometimes getting confiscated by the government. All the guns in the world aren't going to do you any good if, number one, you don't know who the enemy is, and number two, you don't have the training to use them properly. So regarding knowing who the enemy is, I'd like to recommend a book. It's by a gentleman, he goes by the name of Samuel Culper, C-U-L-P-E-R, and he's on Twitter as, I think, Mike Shelby. But the name of the book is SHTF Intelligence, and we all know what SHTF stands for, subtitled An Intelligence Analyst's Guide to Community Security. I'm not going to waste a bunch of time on telling you what it's about, but you need to get it, and you need to start analyzing your community. The first thing you can do is find out who the top 10 troublemakers are in your community. You know, who are the cancel culture leaders? You know, who are the people who are against everything that you believe in? You need to start making a list and checking it twice and find out where your enemies are and who they are, where they lay their heads at night. Regarding training, we talked a lot last week about firearm selection. Of course, there's going to be a lot of arguments about that. I mean, you can buy any guns you want, but when it comes down to actually going into combat and being able to use the ammunition of the man beside you and your enemy's ammunition, his magazines, his load-bearing equipment that holds those magazines, spare parts for your weapon, the AR-15 is the way to go. But for training, you got to get them guns out of the gun safe. You got to get out there and get them zeroed properly. Zero your iron sights, zero your optics, zero lasers if you got them, and have them ready to go at all times. Get out there and shoot. I would suggest learning to shoot with a pistol. If you're not into shooting, get a pistol and learn to shoot with a pistol first, because of a lot of what skills you learn with a pistol transition over to rifle use, but it's not the other way around. And a pistol is going to be more valuable to you in the early stages of clandestine and unconventional warfare than a rifle will. You need something you can carry on your body concealed, and it wouldn't hurt to have a threaded barrel on that thing, if you know what that means. But for training, in addition to your range time and dry firing, which is also incredibly important for firearms training, there's another tool. And when I tell you what the tool is, a lot of people are going to laugh, but they shouldn't laugh, because law enforcement across the country and the U.S. military is using this as a training tool, and it's called airsoft. And if you're not familiar with airsoft, it is the most realistic simulation you can use for close quarters combat without actually being shot and killed. It's kind of like paintball, but much more realistic. And the reason I recommend it, other than the fact that professionals have already identified its usefulness, is that you can take whatever real world weapon you have at home and you can purchase an airsoft replica of it. And let's say take a pistol, for example, your airsoft pistol replica of your rear wheel pistol will fit in your holster. Its magazines will fit in your magazine pouches. The operating functions, you know, slide release, safety, mag release, everything is the same. So you're training on a tool that will mimic the operation of your real world weapon. So when, you know, muscle memory has to take over, you don't have time to think, you know, where's my mag release? Where's my safety? Where's my slide release? You just train and gain muscle memory with this tool. And it's really great. Both pistols and rifles are really good for close quarters combat training. As long as you don't let it become a free-for-all and you have disciplined, scenario-based training, you can really learn a lot from it for, you know, close quarters, inside buildings at short ranges, ambushes, things like that. It's not going to be good for long-range shooting because of the limitations of the, you know, the range of the airsoft weapons. They might be good for 25 or 30 meters with accuracy. But it's a great training tool, and there's ranges, both indoor and outdoor ranges, all over the country. And you can take your guys and get them together and buy some airsoft tools, airsoft weapons, replicating their real-world weapons, and get out there and start blasting each other. And you get a lot of training that way. Like I said, it does not replace real-world range time and dry firing, but it's just another tool in the toolbox for your firearms training.
That is some fantastic information, because I never heard of that. Man, that is incredible. Quick question for your rifle. You mentioned zero. In real battlefield conditions, you may know, since you were Green Beret, this is a two-part question. What would be the average distance of an engagement when you're in the field with the with an enemy? And with that question, second part, would you zero your rifle for, say, the standard, pretty much for a deer rifle? It depends on where you're hunting, like in bean fields or something. You usually zero for about 200 yards. Would you zero for 100, for 200, et cetera, et cetera? What would you recommend to that in for combat, Mike?
Well, since I'm recommending an AR-15 series of weapon, the most common zero is at 25 meters. Okay. And you know, to flip up sight in the rear to extend that out to your extended ranges. There's a bunch of different ways to zero an AR-15, and everybody has their different recommendations on what's best. I would recommend that you zero it at 25 meters, and go online and look at the different types of zeros and see what you like best. And just what's important is get your weapon zeroed.
You know, when I was at Fort Polk years ago, I don't even know if you were born then, but anyway, if I remember right, we were just transitioning from the M14. Of course, I was a medic. You know, I didn't ever tote an M14 later in combat. But we shot the M14, and it's the 7.62 NATO, if I remember right. So it's the same round as the 308 Winchester. And the way we did that, we shot, if I'm not mistaken, at 25 yards. And for the way these bullets, you know, by the way, the round, when you fire, I don't remember the exact way it works, but also with deer hunting, you know, lo and behold, you would be dead center again at about 225 meters, something like that. But that is great. That is fantastic. This may be a rabbit trail, but what is it? You mentioned trying to get a pistol with a threaded barrel. What is tell us about that. Now, are you not talking about just regular rifling, Matt? I mean, Mike? What is a threaded
barrel? I was talking about an extended barrel with a thread on the end of it, appropriate for taking a suppressor.
Okay, good deal. See, okay, that is fine. And one more question. You mentioned the 9mm. Now, does the... In combat, does the military, or would you recommend using the standard ammo, or would you go to plus P? Plus P meaning a little bit higher pressure.
First of all, of course, the military uses ball ammunition because they're limited to the type of ammunition by the Hague or the Geneva Conventions, one or the other. Obviously, we're not limited by that. We don't want to use ball ammunition. We want to use a hollow point. But if you feel comfortable with the plus P or any high velocity, that's fine. Just make sure that whatever you train with is whatever you go to combat with is what you've trained with. Don't switch up cheap ammunition for training and then expect to have the same results under combat.
We'll get into that more soon as we get back from this break right here. Be right back, folks.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marussa reporting. Ever since former U.S. President Donald Trump launched a new media company aimed at rivaling Twitter, there's been a mystery over who provided the money. Trump didn't, so who did? Truth Social's early backers include six businessmen outside of the Silicon Valley mainstream, including two executives from an oil company and a gym chain, and several Republican donors, a former U.S. ambassador to Portugal, and the head of a mail-order fruitcake company. Shipping containers have become the new border wall. Here's more.
Arizona's standing its ground and refusing federal demands to remove shipping containers that are being used to close gaps along the border wall. Yuma Republican Mayor Doug Nichols describes a surge of illegal immigrants and illicit drugs that are coming through the U.S.-Mexico border in his region.
Well, right now we're at about 5,000 to 6,000 people a week coming through the Yuma sector alone. We're also getting drug seizures of meth and fentanyl here at record levels. And so all those are all activity coming through just a porous border.
That audio courtesy of Fox News from the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau. I'm Tim Berg.
The 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama, was in Detroit Saturday at a voting rally, sending well wishes to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, who remains in the hospital following an attack by a man who allegedly broke into the couple's home yelling words, Nancy, and attacking her husband, Paul, with a hammer. Former President Obama saying the polarized political climate gives extremists validation for violent behavior.
When we don't just disagree with people, but we start demonizing them, making wild, crazy allegations about them, that creates a dangerous climate.
This is USA Radio News.
What's the best product I bought this year? Oh, that's easy. Salonpas pain-relieving patches. The proven medicines in Salonpas patches reduce my pain and let me do the things I need to do every day.
In a recent clinical study, patients using Salonpas reported improved sleep, mood, and the ability to work. They had less pain and were able to reduce their use of oral pain medications.
For pain, I use Salonpas. It's good medicine. He sent me to...
David was in big trouble with the IRS.
At first, I didn't owe that much, but after this year, it was out of control.
Then David called Get a Tax Lawyer.
Right away, they were like, oh yeah, looks like you're qualified to save.
Get a Tax Lawyer went to work.
Should have called way sooner.
Get a Tax Lawyer has helped thousands like David fight the IRS and get a fresh start.
Call 800-745-3070. That's 800-745-3070.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we got a guy on here, he even knew, I thought I was the only sucker on this show, I thought I was the only one old enough to know what a hillbilly slug was, what it is. I fired a few, but anyway, if we have enough time, we'll tell the folks what a hillbilly slug is. But anyway, Mike, you gave an excellent couple of minutes of class narrative when we were on break. If you will, if you can remember, I'm sure you're younger, your brain's better, mine probably got a better memory. Repeat to the audience what you were telling me and Rand during the break.
Well, you were asking about what typical engagement ranges are going to be in the future. And in the past, a lot of people talked about getting a really long-range rifle so they can snipe the enemy beyond the ranges of their own weapons. And I would have to disagree with that. There's a time and a place for sniping, but in clandestine and unconventional warfare where you are the weaker party going up against a superior force, you want to be the person who decides at what ranges you're going to engage the enemy. You want to be the one to initiate the fight, and you want to initiate as up close and personal as possible. You need to plan on quick and violent action that will end as soon as possible. You don't want to be searching for guys at a 1,000 meters, 500 meters, 300 meters. You want them up as close as you can get in an ambush. And to do that, you're going to need, like you suggested, shotguns is good. You know, a shotgun has the same devastating power at 50 meters as a submachine gun does, but it's legal. And yeah. So we you want to engage the enemy up close, because fighting at long range, you're not going to be able to capture the equipment that you're going to need that you don't have in the beginning of unconventional warfare. That's good weapons, belt-fed weapons, magazines, ammunition, radio equipment, rations, body armor, load-bearing equipment, helmets. And you're also going to need to be capturing intelligence. And you're going to do that off of dead bodies or live bodies. You're going to want to know what unit you're up against, what kind of unit. That'll give you some idea of their training level and what's being thrown against you. You're going to know about their chain of command. I think I say radio frequencies. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that you can gain off of close contact with the enemy that you're going to need. You can't get that from long range. So always plan on quick and violent action at close range on ground of your choosing, not the enemy's choosing.
You know, Mike, that sounds like that could have come right out of General Nathan Bedford Forrest's playbook, what you just said, choosing the terrain. So I don't know how applicable that is, but so getting up close and personal, as you suggested, if we had our druthers, if we had the opportunity to pick the terrain, what kind of terrain would we want? I would think probably from that, I would say relative, not open, not what it would have to be pretty, with brush to provide concealment, maybe weeds, et cetera, waiting for the enemy to pass through a clearing in the woods, the forest, the fields, whatever. So what kind of terrain, I know I'm repeating myself, do you have an idea what kind would be the ideal terrain that we could pick to choose for our engagement, Mike?
Well, unfortunately, the continent of North America is wide and varied in terrain features, and you've got to engage the enemy wherever the enemy is. So you don't necessarily have a say over the general types of terrain, but any kind of terrain that's good for an ambush, whether it be urban or rural, you'll know it when you see it. You got to have good cover and concealment. And if people don't know the difference between cover and concealment, cover stops bullets. Concealment just hides you. It doesn't stop bullets. You got to have good cover and concealment. You got to have clear fields of fire where the enemy is going to be. There's a lot of considerations, and I would recommend that if anybody wants to know more about ambushes and things like that, pick up a copy of the Ranger Handbook. It tells you everything you need to know. The Rangers are the subject matter experts on the subject of patrolling and raids and ambush and small unit tactics. So good place to start is a Ranger Handbook. Obviously, as I said before previously, you can't learn everything that you need to know from a manual, but you got to start somewhere. You get the manual and you start practicing in the field with your buddies. That's the way to go. One other thing I want to say about airsoft is that it's legal. And when I say it's legal, I say that because a lot of states have what they call anti-paramilitary training laws. So if you're tromping around in the woods with your buddies with camouflage and guns and stuff, if they really want to nail you, they can nail you under the anti-paramilitary training laws. But if you and your buddies are out engaging in airsoft on an airsoft field, or not using any real weapons, I mean, that kind of covers the anti-paramilitary training laws.
You just told me something I didn't know. I hope the audience got that. And once again, before you go any further, people, Mike is covering a tremendous amount of extremely valuable information. So I cannot emphasize enough. Go to our archives after each lesson. Take notes. You can. It's easy to stop the archive. You can fast forward the archive, reload them again. But you need to get this, and you can't just listen to it one time and then put it away. This is serious stuff, people. And I'm not trying to talk down to you, because I'm learning the same way you are, but your life, there's a very good chance that your life's going to depend on a good bit, a lot, or maybe everything that Mike's been teaching us tonight. So you need to, I beg you to pay attention to this. It's very, very serious stuff. Going back to the Rangers, I've been told that the Rangers were some of the finest light infantry in the world. You know, bless those guys' heart. Yes, sir. That's great information. Well, let's see. What other question do I have? Okay, not to get too specialized. Now, what about, I don't know if I covered, if I asked this question on the last show, and you may not know this. However, I haven't asked anything yet that you didn't know. I got to find something you don't know, man. We'll have to talk about the hillbilly slug in a minute, maybe if I run out of stuff to ask. But anyway, this area of high-tech stuff, Dr. Hill kind of alluded to the question I'm getting ready to ask you last week when he came on and talked about the Irish Republican Army fight, when he said that the IRA never had more than 200, I think he said 200 men in the field at any given time. Usually they had these flying wedges, which would be kind of like, I guess, a small infantry company, probably 30 to 40 men in a flying wedge. And
Flying columns, yeah.
Flying column, there you go. And he said that a lot of them didn't even have weapons. He said a lot of the Irishmen that he talked to, Mike, over there, they had never had a weapon in their life. They never fired. They had trained from scratch. I've almost forgot where I was going to go with that. But he was talking about, people will say, the naysayers, the mamby-pamby, say we can't possibly beat this Goliath in government. You know, true, they didn't have helicopters then. They didn't have satellites. They didn't have, cameras watching us day and night. They didn't have drones. But, they had the beast had the what they had in those days were the cream of the crop, the highest tech weapons you can get. And these guys beat them. Don't think a few determined men can't beat these monsters, because we have determination on our side. That aside, I almost got sidetracked what I was going to ask you. With the high tech nowadays, Mike, is there any way, how can we protect, our best protect against, say start with drones, high tech stuff. What can we do to protect ourselves in the field against the Zogs when they send the drones out looking for us?
Well, before I go there, let me say this. There's a lot of old Viet Cong veterans, Taliban veterans, Iraqi veterans that are laughing at the idea that high technology cannot be defeated. You got to understand, behind every piece of high technology, there's some 19-year-old kid pulling levers and pushing buttons, okay? It's all guided by humans. And as far as drones go, drones are what they use when the SWAT team can't find you and kick in your front door. You're more likely to encounter a SWAT team or a infantry squad than you are a drone. But when it comes down to drones, the first thing you got to do, and this is where the intelligence gathering comes in, where are these drones being operated out of? There's a field somewhere. And what do you do? You go kill the operators, okay? You go destroy the drones on the ground, okay? We don't have the tools yet for countering drones in the air, taking them out, but you can certainly destroy them on the ground, and you can destroy the operators and the facilities from which they operate.
Fantastic, fantastic. You know, in other words, if you're going to fight a 25-foot python, you don't cut off an inch at a time. You cut off the head. And when we come back, I'll explain to you people what the head is. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seat. This is one hell of a lesson we're teaching you.
Treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware,
aware. America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, God bless you, Blood River Radio people. I hope you are as impressed with our professor tonight. He is indeed a professor. I tell you what, you can't. West Point only wish they had somebody like this teaching all this stuff right here to these little airhead, little mamby-pambies at West Point. West Point used to be the real deal, but I think probably for the past 25 years or so, it's just turned into, it's almost like Sodom City. You know, all these lesbo black women up there. It just makes me want to puke. I'm a good God Almighty. You know what? General MacArthur, people like that, he would roll over in his grave, man. But anyway, we were talking about, before we went to the break, we were talking about how to defeat drones. And I'm glad that was good news to me to hear what he said about drones. And I'm glad all these old people, they're always talking about, oh, you can't possibly win. They got these drones out there looking for you, man. When these drones can find you, they're gonna put some scunny on you. But, you know, you nailed it, buddy, when you said you go to the head. You cut the head off the beast, so to speak. And there's another head of the beast I'll talk about one of these days. Probably maybe tonight. But I'll have to really parse my words, what do you call it, to keep from getting in trouble with the gulag, with the gzog. Anyway, go back to that few. Did you have anything else to add on that finding the feel about the drones and the high-tech stuff like that, Mike? And you mentioned also that the Viet Cong, people like that, laugh at all of our high technology stuff like that. So if you can remember where you're going with that, continue on, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Viet Cong were up against some of the most high technology in the world at that time. We had helicopters that dangled hoses beneath them that could sniff out human urine. They would drop transponders into the jungle that would bury themselves in the ground and could detect human footsteps. And they were so sensitive they could detect the difference between a human and an animal, or even a man and a woman. And, you know, this is how we directed fire on certain areas, is through these airborne, air deliverable sensors. And there's so much more to a war than just the troops on the ground. You know, there's the political will to fight. Not all wars are won on the ground. For example, the U.S. soldier in Vietnam won every battle but lost the war. So it's not just the soldier on the ground. It's the civilians' population, their will to fight. It's the will and the leadership of the politicians. It's not all the soldiers' fault that they lose. And that's something else to consider in a future fight on our part. Is that we're not just fighting the guy with the gun. We're fighting what's behind him, his community, his government, et cetera. So that's where propaganda comes in. But back on the drones, cutting the head off is very important, and that's what I would recommend. But until you get a chance to do that, there's some videos online on YouTube that show the use of concealment clothing that defeats infrared seeking equipment. And basically, you can duplicate this by sewing a what they call a space blanket. You know, the survival blankets are basically a lightweight aluminum sheet. You can sew that inside of a poncho. And there's good videos on YouTube showing through thermal devices what this looks like in the woods. And it's very, very effective. I don't want to take up a whole bunch of time talking about
you go for it. You're doing great.
How it works and how to defeat it and all. But you can find all that on YouTube. Everything you want to know in life, you can learn on YouTube.
That is amazing. You know, that reminds me, years ago, people, I don't know if it works, they said you could take pieces of aluminum foil and kind of make, I'll say 10, 12 little small aluminum balls out of aluminum foil, put them inside your hubcaps, and it would defeat radar. I don't know if that's true or not, but maybe that's the same principle. But that, man, this is some incredible information you're giving out there. That's, I'm sure, filing away in my brain. But, you know, you also mentioned something. Graham, before we go too much further, brother, I don't want to neglect you. Do you have any questions you have for Mike?
It's fascinating. And I just want to say, and I'm reiterating, but how fortunate and blessed we are to have men like Michael Tubbs on here that is willing to share this information, as well as like Dr. Hill last week. I mean, this is... we're just so fortunate to have it. I just can't say that so much. But one question that I had jotted down while we were discussing, because Michael had brought up training and I think of exercise. Michael, how much weight can one individual, if he's properly equipped, how much weight can he kindly count on having to carry?
Well, in special forces, they turn you into a pack mule, okay? When you go behind it, when you train to go behind enemy lines, you got to take everything with you. We've carried up to 120 pounds of equipment. And the standard, though, is to train with a 45-pound rucksack. So if anybody wants to start training, I would recommend carrying a 45-pound rucksack at 15 minutes a mile on foot. That's a good standard to set for your training.
That's rolling. 15 minutes a mile of carry that weight is rocking on.
Yeah.
That's an excellent question, Rand. That's a fabulous question.
But you want to travel as light as possible, and that's where we go back to caching. You need to cache items, essential items, along the routes on the way to, missions. In fact, it's what they call a mission support site. It's where you cache all the equipment that you're going to need to perform a certain mission ahead of time. That way you don't have to run the risk of being caught transporting it or being slowed down carrying it. You have various waypoints in rural areas where you can hold up, safe houses or campsites or whatever. You can cache all your heaviest gear in those places or along the routes to those places so that you don't have to carry it. You want to travel as light as possible, so caching is the answer.
And listening to y'all, my mind gets to churning. You brought up backpack. I can envision where, especially like in rural Florida or Alabama, where horses could become invaluable to us.
Oh, yeah. Horses and mules.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, they trained us in backpacking horses for mountain terrain, so we didn't have to be lugging around those rucksacks on our backs. We just packed them on the horses along with any other, ammo and heavy weapons and things like that. Horses are invaluable as long as you're trained in their use. It's like anything else. Well, we're on the subject.
I was just going to say, I've heard Dr. Hill talking about night walking and going out doing a lot of night walking, which is kind of natural to me being an old coon hunter. But I think that's important that you do get out and stir about and get used to walking at night. And I've read things like where when you're moving in a unit, and that brings up another question, how many in a unit? And I'll let you answer that in a second.
Great question.
When you walk at night, they even have like a mule tape, which is a real a sufficient rope, maybe 5, 6, 7 foot long or so to tie to each other. So when you're maneuvering out in the woods at night, that you don't lose anybody. Just little things like that. I mean,
the way the military overcomes that, they use what's called glint tape, and you can order glint tape online, GLINT, and they sometimes they refer to it as Ranger Eyes, and you put a couple of pieces of it, maybe a half inch by 1 inch, and you sew them on the back of your cap so the guy behind you can see it, and you can increase the visibility by shining a flashlight on it, and it'll glow. And that way, your hands are unencumbered by any kind of a rope or anything, and you just keep your eye on the guy in front of you.
Right, right. And, you know, little things like, you know, and I'm just, like I said, my mind gets to turning. We talk about exercise and walking. And, you know, me, I know that, you know, I'm the least one here to talk about combat situations. The closest thing I've ever been in combat was in Charlottesville. But, you know, I am a deer hunter. And one thing that I do is that I make a point to walk long distances to my stand. I don't ride my side-by-side or my four-wheeler right up close to my stand. I make a point to walk. Because you brought up humping it the other night, because we're going to be in situations where we have to hump it.
Absolutely. If anybody thinks they're going to be going out and engaging the enemy and then going back home and watching TV or pounding on their keyboard or something, they got another thing coming to them. You might as well get ready to live the life of a hunted animal. So, yeah, get physically fit.
It's going to be a big lifestyle change for sure.
Said you had no experience, Fran, but you know what? There was a guy named John Singleton Mosby. We talked about, I think, 2 weeks ago. I know Mike will know better than I. He had no military experience. He hadn't done anything like that. In fact, I think he was an attorney, wasn't he, Mike?
I believe he was an attorney, yeah.
And they called him the Gray Ghost. They didn't call him the Gray Ghost for nothing, Rand.
Yeah, Valerie gave us a good class on him.
She sure did.
She sure did. And, you know, getting back to the number in a unit, I know that number can probably vary from 2 to 20, but what would be the ideal number for a unit, Michael?
Well, unfortunately, we don't always have the option of deciding how many people we're going to have in a unit, because we're going to be operating in cells of people that we trust. And these might be family members, friends, church members, fellow coworkers, people that we've known for a long time that we can trust with our lives. And it's also going to depend on a number of other things. Mission, time you have, the enemy situation, the terrain. Even if you had a platoon sized unit of 30 people, you might not want to move as a platoon of 30 men. You want to break everybody up into 10 man squads and have them move by different routes to a location, just to cut down on the signatures that could be gained by moving large bodies of people through rural or even urban areas.
In your opinion, who would qualify to be a captain and a leader of a unit like that?
Well, you know, aside from personal experience and the things that matter and such things, the men who were there are going to know who their leader is automatically. And in times past, men used to vote in their officers. And it voted in people that they knew to lead them.
Well, guys, this has been one hell of an hour. We're transitioning to the second hour. We'll open up the first segment, talking about like we are now. And at the about the minute 5:10 to 15, we have a great guest, a surprise guest coming on. People, hold on to your seats. This is going to be kind of a long break. We'll be right back in a few minutes going to the second hour.